Well, good morning, Grace people. It is good to be with you today on this Reformation Sunday. I see a number of you wore red. Good on you for remembering. Those of you who don't, it only comes once a year. So next time, wear red. Or just wear red every Sunday and then you got it all covered, right? Well, I want you to use your imagination this morning, okay? And here's what I want you to imagine. Imagine that Jesus was crucified yesterday, that he is risen from the dead today, and that he is returning tomorrow. Just think about that for a moment. Imagine. How would this impact the way you live? The way you work? The way you speak? The way you shop, the way you spend your time, what would change? What would remain the same? I believe this kind of imagination is exactly the kind of imagination we as the church need as followers of the way of Jesus. It's timely, it's now, it is a gospel imagination. Well, today is Reformation Sunday. And it's the day that we celebrate the Reformation of the church 500 years ago, which was led by a Roman Catholic monk named Martin Luther. And of the many things that Luther said and did in that small window of history, the most important thing was a rediscovery and a rearticulation of the most important doctrine in all of Christianity. It's called the doctrine of justification. Fancy word. Justification by grace through faith in Christ alone. This is the very heart of the gospel. Now, if that sounded like a lot of fancy words and complicated ideas and theological things, it's okay. Okay, hang with me. Hang with me, okay? Because I am so convinced that once you understand and fully embrace the gospel, your past, present, and future will never be the same. So, what is the gospel? It's a word that gets tossed around an awful lot, especially in church circles. Sounds like kind of a churchy word. What is the gospel? Let's start with the word itself. The word gospel comes from the Old English Godspell. Now, I don't know if that's how they pronounced it so many, many centuries ago, but if you've ever seen or heard of the theatrical production, musical production called Godspell, that's where it comes from. It comes from that idea. Spiel. It's got some of German that's in it there too. Spiel, which means speak or message. God, good. God is good all the time and all the time. Good. So you got good and you got message. The good news. That's what gospel translates to in modern English. Good news. Now it also comes in the Greek within our New Testament as the word euangelion. And that's a two-part combination. Eu, which means good. And angelion, which means message. Euangelion is what we often then refer to within our regular language as the root for the word evangelism or evangelical. And if you hear that second part, you and then angelion, you might hear angelion. What does that sound? Angel. That's where we get the word angel from. And angels are messengers. So once again, it all points to the same thing, a good message, good news that is brought to us. So what is this good news? Well, I want to share with you today what I believe are two faces of one coin, okay? One coin, which is the gospel, that has two faces on it. On the first side is the gospel of the cross, the good news of the cross. And we hear this message of the good news of the cross In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, if you have a Bible with you, that is wonderful. You can open up your Bibles, pull it out, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We have some ushers who'd be happy to bring a Bible out to you so that you can be opening it and reading along with us. Always love it when people do that. So either open a Bible that you got or get a Bible so you can open it. Either way would be great. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6. This is the Apostle Paul who's talking and teaching right now. And the Apostle Paul is going to be very direct with the people of Corinth. Straightforward here in chapter 15, starting right at the first part. Listen to what Paul has to say. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. The Apostle Paul is going right to the core, right to the center of this message, and wants it made really, really clear. This is the gospel. It was what was passed on to him. He didn't make it up himself. He didn't take it out of thin air. This was a gospel that was passed on to him. And it's important to remember that. It's not Paul's gospel. It's God's gospel. It's good news from God for us. And in a nutshell, it is this. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world, took on flesh, dwelt among us, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then was crucified on a cross, dead and buried. And in that crucifixion, the price for our sins was paid. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead in triumph over death. And he will return again. That's the gospel, I would say, in a nutshell. And it is so important that we hear it and that we know what it means. This is the good news. You see, the good news is the power of God for your salvation. And why do you need it? Because you are a sinner. So am I. So are every one of us. In fact, the only one who has ever lived a sinless life was Jesus. So the bad news is you're a sinner. The good news is you're in good company because the good news is for you then. The good news is for sinners to let them know that they no longer have to be separated from God. But by trusting in Jesus and in what he did and in who he was, by faith, God's grace has come to you. That's good news. That is good, good news. And it's the narrow way. It's the narrow way. It's Jesus only. And it is the free gift of God. You can't earn this. That's what grace means. Believing it takes you from death to life, from darkness to light, from despair to hope. This is the gospel. It is good news. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, it calls us into a new relationship with God that we couldn't possibly accomplish for ourselves. God did it through Jesus for you. Amen. There's the gospel. Believe it. Believe it. Now, let me say a word about what the gospel is not. This is not good advice for a better life. The gospel is not some technique that we apply to our lives to just get it a little bit better. To promise you that everything is going to go well if you just take this advice. It is not good advice. We have plenty of people who want to give us good advice in this life. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. Some of it's asked for, a lot of it is not asked for at all. But advice is advice, and the gospel is the gospel. Now let me tell you something else that the gospel is not. The gospel is not good rules for a moral life. The gospel is not God's way of saying, you know what, you've screwed up, but you just need to try a little harder. You just need to work a little bit harder. Be better. Try harder. Do good things. Do less bad things. That's not good news. That's rules. That's the law. And the reality is, none of us can live up to that. And anything that we think is about making ourselves better or making ourselves more moral, Paul has a description of that. He calls it rubbish. He says it doesn't amount to anything compared to the good news that God has done this for you. He has made you right with God. He has paid the price for your sin. It's not good advice. It's not good rules. It is the good news that brings us into eternal life. So that is the good news. And this good news opens you up to a whole new way of life that is now. A whole new way of life that is now and for today. This is the other face on the coin. And I would call this the gospel of the kingdom. So we have the gospel of the cross and the gospel of the kingdom. They are not two different gospels. They're deeply connected to one another, but the gospel of the cross absolutely comes first. So let's talk a little bit about what this gospel of the kingdom is. Well, hey, actually, rather than me just talking about it, let's hear Jesus talk about it, because he did. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, hear this from the word. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Jesus. And Jesus is quoting Isaiah. And a moment after saying this, he sat down and said, "This word that you have now heard has been fulfilled." This is a message of the coming Messiah. And Jesus is that Messiah. That's what Christ means, Messiah, King. So this gospel that Jesus is proclaiming is also the gospel. And I want you to think about it for a moment as I share some of the things that are in here, because sometimes we hear it so many times, we forget the impact. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Anointed one is also another term for Messiah. Anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Well, why is this good news for the poor? I mean, if you're poor, why don't you just do something about it? I mean, why don't you just make yourself better? And by the way, didn't you kind of get yourself in this position on your own? That's not what the gospel is about. This gospel that Jesus is talking about says this is good news for the poor. But then he goes on. And he says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. The prisoners? Why are the prisoners in prison? Because they've done something wrong. They've done something wrong and ought to be punished. How dare Jesus take these words of Isaiah and say that the prisoners get to go free? It's a radical message. But Jesus is claiming this word for himself as the Messiah, who in the power of the King can set people free. And recovery of sight for the blind. Well, why are they blind? Well, in the time of Jesus, many people would assume that somebody is blind because they're under God's curse. They've done something wrong. And because of what they've done wrong, or because of what their parents did wrong, or their grandparents did wrong, or somebody else did wrong, they are now blind. It's just the way it is. But not with Jesus. Jesus comes and declares sight for the blind, to make it clear that this is not God's plan. God's plan is right here. The Messiah's plan is right here. The good news he wants to proclaim is right here. Recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Everybody who's on the outside looking in, everybody who's on the bottom looking up, Jesus says, you are brought into the freedom of this kingdom. Welcome in. The door is open. Come out of prison. Come into this new life. See it for what it is. And by the way, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord's favor, which is grace. It's unmerited. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. But it's the grace of God, the gift offered to us. See, this is the good news that calls us out to a new relationship with the world around us. Now, let me be clear. This message of the kingdom doesn't mean anything without the message of the cross. You see, if you're just going to go and do the things of the kingdom without the work of the cross, you're just out doing good things. Now, that's not bad. It's just not the gospel. The gospel starts with a heart that recognizes its need for forgiveness, that comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I can't do this. Thank you that you have done this for me to make me whole. I trust in you completely. And from that place of his forgiveness, he calls you out into a new life, an eternal life that begins now. And that brings you into the gospel of the kingdom. It's all good news. And this gospel brings us to our gospel imagination. To imagine that Christ was crucified yesterday, that Christ is risen today and that Christ is returning tomorrow. How does that imagination impact us? Well, if Christ was crucified yesterday, then your sins are really forgiven. Your sins. We have a tendency to look back to the cross 2,000 years ago and feel like, well, you know what? That's way back then. How could way back then really impact here and now? It's because Jesus on the cross took on everyone's sin, past, present, future. And if we realize that, and if we have an imagination that says it's like Jesus died yesterday for my sins, everything that's fresh, everything that's hurt, everything that's broken, everything that's sick in your life as a result of sin is taken care of yesterday. It's in the past. And if Christ is risen today, it means that today is Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's kind of crazy how we only celebrate it once a year for a day. Because you see, every Sunday is supposed to be a mini Resurrection Sunday. Every single time. We come together as God's people and we should hear the cry, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Amen. That should be every Sunday. That should be our heart, that it is as fresh to us right now as it was to Mary and to the disciples. When she rushed in the door and said, "Listen, I've seen him. He's alive." That's the kind of enthusiasm and power of the resurrection. And it's for today, for right now. Not just in distant history, but speaking from the cross and the empty tomb 2,000 years ago, right to us today, now. And if we imagine Christ is returning tomorrow, which he could, it changes our perspective on today. It gives us hope for a future, because when Jesus comes, he comes to make everything right. And he also comes to judge the living and the dead. So as we stand here today thinking about him returning tomorrow, there should be a Holy Spirit urgency in our lives. An urgency that says, there's people who don't know. There's people who haven't heard this good news yet. We want them to hear the same good news that I've heard. I didn't hear it better and makes me better than them. I maybe just heard it first. But there's somebody else who needs to hear. There is good news. Crucified yesterday, risen today, returning tomorrow. All of this brings us into this new kingdom life. And it is a gospel imagination, starting at the cross and continuing on through the rest of our lives. Never going past the cross, but always looking to the new thing that God is doing today, now. Galatians 2:20, I think, captures this so well. It's Paul's voice again. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It captures it all. A recognition that I was crucified with Christ yesterday, but I was raised to life with him today. And his life now lives in me. And the life I now have in this body, by faith, I lean into the future. This is good news. This good news saves us and also reorients us in our lives yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's Reformation Sunday, and it's not a time for nostalgia. It's not Luther Day. We honor what has gone before us, but the Reformation is ultimately about a recovery of the living gospel. This message that's as fresh to you and me today as it was to him 500 years ago and to every Christian all the way back. This is the ancient modern. This is the mystery of faith. Any of you who have ever been raised in a Roman Catholic setting may have heard that word before, the mystery of faith. It's a part of the Catholic liturgy, and part of what is also said as a part of that liturgy is this: Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It's normally sung. See, we even recognize it in these ancient liturgies that it's meant to be as present to us today. It's why we don't talk about the fact that Christ has risen. It's always Christ is risen. It's in the present tense. It's right now. It's life. And this brings us full circle to our gospel imagination. So let me ask you this. And I want you to ponder this today, but I want you to think about it tomorrow morning when you awake. If that timeline were true, that imaginary timeline, who would you forgive? What would you stop doing? What would you start doing? Who would you speak to or serve? Martin Luther was once pondering this and was asked and responded this way: if he knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow, he'd plant a tree. Why? Because that is what he had planned to do. Because if we're living in this reality of Christ dying for us yesterday, being risen today, and coming back tomorrow, whatever it is that God has called us into today should be what we do. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it's living in a present reality that God has called us into something today, called us out of death and into life. This is believing the gospel and living into the kingdom. Jesus made the invitation, and he made the invitation in his own words in Mark chapter 1 when he said this: the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. There it is, friends. The kingdom has come because the king has come. He's drawn near to us, inviting us to repent and turn away from the sin that has entangled us and turn to him and believe what he has done for us. Let's live from this gospel. Let's live in this gospel. Let's live with this gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you sent your Son Jesus into this world to be Emmanuel, God with us, Father, we thank you for this gift. Lord, would you remind us today of what Jesus has done for us that we can't possibly do for ourselves? Would you help us to trust and believe in that work on the cross that was for us, and that our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross? And then would you awaken us to new life, calling us forward, not to prove something to you, Lord, but to just show that same love and live that same gospel for the sake of our neighbor, that they might hear and know and believe. Father, I pray anybody within the sound of my voice who is hearing this message and feeling stirred in their heart, that today they would respond They would come before you and say, Lord, take my life. Use it for your kingdom, but rescue me from myself. Thank you, Jesus, for your gospel. Fresh to us today as it has been from the beginning. We pray this all, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen.